So, hello to everyone who is watching here or watching online remotely. My name is Neil, this is CS50, and today's seminar is Responsive Web Design with Bootstrap, a subject very close to my heart. Hopefully it'll be close to your heart as well by the end of today's seminar. So, yeah, so Bootstrap. How many of you have done any kind of web development before? Good amount? Okay, a little bit, yeah. So, Bootstrap is the world's most popular front-end framework. It's used by, I've chosen a couple random websites, Lyft, Newsweek, and Vogue. It's used by a number of websites. It's a web design framework that will let you make your websites both beautiful and responsive. And I'll go over these two concepts here. Beautiful. So you have a normal website on the left, which is made by just HTML, right? You've learned HTML in class and in section at length. Bootstrap is a way to make your websites beautiful. You can take what's on the left side of your screen and turn it to what's on the right side of your screen with very, very, very little code. You get the nice blue button, you get the fancy rounded edges on the screen, you get the list view, you get the cards, and so on, with very little code. There's actually no CSS that you have to write by yourself. So Bootstrap allows you to have these pre-built CSS components you can put inside of your web page to make it look beautiful without very much work on your own. It's really a bootstrap, a starting point for your web development adventures. And so when you're just mocking up a website, it's a very good place to get started. You can get a good looking website with very, very little work. And indeed, we're going to do this ourselves in the course of like 5 minutes, within like 10 minutes. So it's pretty easy to make some great websites. So that's the first part. The second part, responsive. People nowadays don't just access the web on their laptops. Actually, as of 2014, more people access their website, the web through mobile devices like phones or tablets or surfaces or so on than websites. And websites have traditionally been designed with laptops or desktops in mind. And so the websites are often not very well suited to your phone. If you ever visited like harvard.edu on your phone, it's kind of an annoying experience, right? That's because it's not responsive. We're trying to make websites that are responsive, that respond to people's screen sizes. So if it's a phone, let's go on the phone. If it's a tablet, let's go on a tablet. It adjusts to match the screen that is being used. And so Bootstrap also provides some very, very useful utilities for that, and we're going to discuss that as well. So again, there are two parts to Bootstrap, beautiful and responsive. We're going to talk about those, first beautiful and then responsive. Cool. So all the code that we're going to talk about today, we're going to have a lot of examples, a lot of challenges, and so on. It all lives on this website here. This slide's always sent out, so if you're here, you can feel free to not have to write that down. And if you're watching remotely, feel free to pull this up on your computer as well. You'll probably need it during the course of this seminar. So we're going to use a website called CodePen, which is a collaborative coding environment during this seminar. And CodePen, and I'll show you here real fast, it allows you to write HTML code collaboratively. Like I can write it, I can send it to you guys can edit it. Even if you're remote, you can still access it that way. You can type HTML code at the top, and it'll automatically be converted into the web page at the bottom. So it's a way for you to like really quickly try out code and without having to do any kind of stuff on your IDE or your own website or whatever. So go ahead and pull up this website if you're remote or if you are here, especially if you're remote. is.gd/cs50bootstrap, no caps, no underscores, no nothing. So those of you who are here, just give me a thumbs up when you have pulled up that web page. Cool. So we'll get to that in just a second. Okay. So first, we're going to get to how do you make your websites beautiful. We're going to learn how to take boring old HTML, like I showed you before, and turn that into really nice components, like nice widgets, nice colored buttons and labels and tables and all, using Bootstrap. So if you could all go over to the CodePen that you just pulled up, it should look a little bit like this. Does it look like this for everyone? If you're remote, it should look like this as well. If not, I will show you soon how you can get it to look like this in a future part of the video. So here we have written a very basic HTML, like the kind you'd use in class. It's pretty basic, no frills. And we have some stuff. We have like we've designed a very, very basic startup called Yelp, with which you can find restaurants in the area and find reviews and directions on all of those. It's a very new concept. It's never been done before. It's a very unique name, too. So what we're going to try and do is help the owner of Yelp make his website look really, really cool. So to begin with, the owner of Yelp has made a little search box and a little button, and then maybe a little highlighted area for a highlighted restaurant, and then a list of other restaurants that are in the area. So we can just go through the HTML code real fast. How comfortable are you guys with HTML? We've done a little bit in section, also in class. Decently? OK, so just as a recap, HTML is all about having tags or elements that tell the computer how to lay out the web page. So this H1 here, start H1, welcome to Yelp, end H1, tells the computer, draw a header, a big header called that says welcome to Yelp inside there. We also can have forms. We can have inputs like this, text inputs, which will render as like text boxes you can write in. You can also have buttons. You get a nice clickable button. Doesn't do anything right now, but you get a button. You can have divs or dividers to like break up your page into various groups. You can have paragraphs. You can have buttons. Your paragraphs, and you can have unordered lists, UL, and list item inside of that, LI. So these are the very basic building blocks of a web page. And indeed, pretty much every website you see is going to be built using these same tools. Of course, they don't all look this bad, because we're going to spice it up a little bit. So let's take this boring old HTML and start transforming it into the beautiful site that we just saw a couple minutes ago. So let's start off very simple. So we have this button here. In Bootstrap, as we saw, we can have a nice, beautiful blue button. And that's done not by doing custom CSS. There's no custom CSS here. That's done by adding classes to your HTML elements. If you've ever tried classes or hrefs or anchors or type equals text for inputs, HTML elements can have these attributes. They can have extra information that you might give them. And so in this case, class is another attribute. So you'd write button class equals something inside of strings. And that attribute will tell the computer, this is not any old button. It's a button that has this is in this class of buttons. And so Bootstrap will, if you give it a certain style on your element, it will attach a certain, it'll draw it a certain way. So if I write btn space btn-primary, btn being a abbreviation for button, you'll notice that my ugly button turned into a nice, beautiful blue button. It looks very nice when we click it. And so what happens is we have the btn class and the btn-primary class on our element. And Bootstrap will go in and say, OK, I know that there are these two classes. Any element that has these two classes should be drawn like this. So that's the core of how you attach styles to elements in Bootstrap. You just attach classes to them. And it will lay it out as it sees fit. So here's another example. In the input, we can add a class equals form-control. And I'll show you soon where you can find out what classes are available for each kind of element. But the class that we just added made our input had a nice rounded corners. It has nice padding. It has a nice blue glow to it. We can also go into this form and class equals form inline, which will make our form, as you might imagine, inline. So it's looking a little bit more like what we had before already. So before we go on to the style of the rest of the page, any questions about what we did? We just attached classes to our various elements, and I'll show you later how you can figure out what classes are available. We attach classes that have certain styles, and that tells the computer, or the browser rather, how to lay out the page using Bootstrap's provided styles. Any questions from the audience? Good so far? Cool. A lot of the challenge with Bootstrap is just knowing what components are available and how you use them. And that is often learned with experience and also through reading the documentation, which we'll talk about soon. OK, so we have this div. It's just a boring little thing. We want to emphasize it somehow. So in Bootstrap, there are a lot of components available. And this is getbootstrap.com. It's a very useful reference. It contains things like, here's how you do a button. Here's how you do and you can do a nav bars. You can do labels. You can do progress bars. You can do list groups. Basically, all kinds of stuff you might see on a web page. Here's one that we'll try right now. It's called a paddle. If you ever use like Google Now, they have cards, or any Android device has cards. They have little white boxes that have stuff inside of it. And so we're going to try and do that ourselves here using a thing called a paddle. So if we attach class equals panel-default to our outer div, then we're going to attach a div class equals, let's just check this documentation, div class equals panel-heading, and then div class equals panels-body. Again, don't worry about memorizing this code. It'll be available online. So we did this. And our boring old div turned into this nice little card. Right? It has nice padding. It has borders. It stands out from the rest of the page, which is pretty cool. So let's go in and change this Get Directions button to look nice. Who in the audience wants to tell me what I can do to the button to make it look nice using Bootstrap? Yeah?
We could add a class.
Mm-hmm.
And we could do class equals quotation marks
mm-hmm.
button
mm-hmm.
btn dash primary.
Yep. There's a bunch of other colors available for buttons, or for anything for that matter. We can do btn dash danger, make it red. There we go. We can do btn dash, I think, success to make it green. Yep, we can do btn dash info. There's a bunch of things that are available to you. OK, so I have a little challenge for you now. So there's one more thing that I have left unstyled, this top restaurants. And we want to use a thing called a list group to style it. So my challenge to you is go on to getbootstrap.com. I'll pull it up here, getbootstrap.com. Go to getbootstrap.com. Find the section where they go over list groups. And you'll see here an example and the right class that you can use to make your list into these nice list groups. These are worked out examples of code examples, what code you use, what HTML code you use, and what that outputs. So my challenge to you, go on getbootstrap.com, whether you're here or at home, and try and add styles to this UL to make it look nice and use a list group style. You want to take a couple minutes and try and search the documentation and try this yourselves? Because as you're doing web development, you'll realize a lot of your work is going to be reading this documentation. So I think it's good to get familiar with how to read documentation, how to figure out what's where, what code examples you can use, what you can leverage. So again, getbootstrap.com, go to the Components tab, and then scroll down to List Group. And you'll see examples of code that you can use to make your website or your HTML fit that. So take a couple minutes and try and explore it yourself, whether you're here or at home. If you're at home, pause the video, perhaps, and try it out yourself. If you're here, if you go to our website, if you refresh the page, you'll see this on there. This very same code's just adding your styles right there. So take a few minutes. Let me know when you are feeling good about it or when you're totally lost. Sound good? Cool. Quick aside for those of you at home while we're waiting. If you go onto the GitHub site that I put up a couple slides ago towards the beginning of the video, I have a GitHub repo repository for this talk. All these code examples that we'll be talking about are stored right here. So if you go to challenge-1.html, this is all the code that we have right now on our code pen. So you can just go ahead and copy this and paste it in your own code pen, and that way you can keep up with what we're doing here. So have this page open as well as we go through the rest of the seminar. Again, you want to look like what you see down at the bottom of your screen there. Doing good? Solid. Let's wait for everyone else to finish up what they're doing. Hey.
Suppose that I wanted to use Bootstrap at
mm-hmm.
home.
Yeah.
I see on the website the
mm-hmm.
Getting Started
mm-hmm.
page. They give me an option, Bootstrap, Source Code,
mm-hmm.
or SAS.
Yeah.
which of these okay. do I want?
Yeah, so the question is, how do we get started using Bootstrap by ourselves? It just happens to magically work right here.
Yeah.
So if we have time at the end of the seminar, I'll show you how you can get it on your own web page.
Okay.
Yeah. Like here, I've actually put in some settings that'll have it automatically loaded. Mm-hmm. But I'll show you how to do it on Scratch on your own web pages.
Thank you.
Yeah, good question. Feeling good? Feeling good? Cool. So who wants to tell me how did they make this thing look nice and bootstrappy? What's the first class we added to the UL?
Class equal to list group.
Yep, list-group. Yeah. All right, and then what do we attach to the LIs? Someone else.
And then after that, class equal to list group item.
Yep. LI.
Same for the next one.
Yep, class equals list-group-item. There you go. We have our nice list group just like we had expected. So there you go. In 10 minutes, we have made this boring old Yelp page look nice and professional. And that's just the beginning. So now you feel good about that, let's just go ahead and talk about a couple more components that might come in handy as you go throughout your adventure. Of course, there's a lot of ones here. And now that you've learned how to do list groups, you can pretty much teach yourself how to do any of these. But of course, let's just try and do a couple more ourselves just so you get a feel for how you might use them. I'm just going to go to this example here. Again, the code that I just pasted in here is available right here. So feel free to pull it up. Yeah, so we've already gone through a couple of these examples. So we have buttons, which we have already seen how to do. We can make buttons larger by button class equals btn space btn dash lg, then btn dash default makes it white. So this makes our button bigger than it might otherwise be. Might come in handy if you have a big like submit button or something. We saw the list group example. We saw the forum example. One very important one is icons. And icons are a way for you to add interesting things like check marks or pluses or friend icons or restart icons or whatever to your web app. So again, if we go into here, the components, glyphicons are the icons available for Bootstrap. And there's an exhaustive list of all the ones here. So just as an example, let's try and add one. So we have like Facebook, sort of. We're trying to have an add friend button. Let's first add some styles, like button class equals btn space btn dash success. And there we go. Let's add an icon here. What icon do you think might make sense to put here? You've probably seen it on web pages or whatever. What's an example of an icon that might go well inside this button? Feel free to browse this if you need any inspiration. There's a lot of useful ones available here. Yeah?
Maybe a glyphicon user one?
OK, this one. That's pretty good. Yeah, on Facebook, I think it would look a bit like that. So here's how we go about adding icons to our pages. We just have a span. A span is a neutral container for something. A div is a container for something. A span is another container. Divs have line breaks around them, spans do not. So they're just different ways of having generic containers. Like, it doesn't make sense to put inside of a paragraph or anything. We got to put inside something, though. So we just put inside of a span. So span class equals glyphicon space glyphicon dash user, close span. And we now have, we have the icon inside the button. So it doesn't look entirely unlike what you might see on Facebook.com. And so what's nice is that these can actually be placed anywhere you want, in your header bars, in your list groups, whatever. It doesn't have to be inside of a button. So as an example, I can put the same class here, glyphicon-user, and it appears just the same. So these icons, you can use the span class equals glyphicon-whatever, and that will let you add icons wherever you want. And icons are a very important part of making your website look professional and well done. So don't overdo it, but it's often a good thing to know. Panels, again, I'll just do this again as a recap because they're kind of involved. You'll notice that in turning your normal HTML site into a Bootstrapified site, you'll have to add extra structure to the website. For example, we have extra divs here just because those are needed to make a panel. So just keep that in mind that you'll have to have extra structure. So panel-default. We use panel header. I think it's panel heading. Yep, there we go. So again, there is our panel. One more thing that we did not cover yet, tables. Tables by default are, they look kind of ugly, like this. But tables are, of course, a very important part of what you will do in web development. In PSET 7, for example, CS50 Finance, which will come out soon, you'll use a lot of tables. And a lot of web dev use a lot of tables to like display information, or like stocks or scores or whatever. So styling tables is actually very easy. You add the table class to your table, and I dare say it looks pretty nice. You can do extra things like table. You can do table-striped, and you'll see the results here. You can do table-bordered. There's a lot of options you can do. But basically, adding a table, the table class will make your tables look pretty nice. So that's a brief rundown of some of the more important styles and components you'll need to use for Bootstrap. OK, so I think that wraps up our beautiful part. Any questions right now about how to make your websites beautiful, how you can use these components to your advantage? Feeling good? Yeah.
Maybe this is a silly question, but can you use Bootstrap on like Wikipedia if you're editing a Wikipedia page?
OK, yeah. So the question was, I'm editing a Wikipedia page. Yeah. Can I include Bootstrap styles in there? And so Bootstrap is basically a big CSS style sheet, right? It says, a CSS style sheet just says, whenever I have this class, attach this styles, right? So the CSS style sheet for Bootstrap is going to be something like the .btn, right? The button class will get like, you know, border, like it'll get like a rounded corner, border, like whatever. So basically, Bootstrap is just a bunch of classes and a bunch of styles specified for those classes, right? So as long as you have that CSS, this list of rules in your page, you will get the Bootstrap styling. That is, of course, contingent on having the Bootstrap styles in your page to begin with. And so in Wikipedia, you probably could not do that because Wikipedia does not have Bootstrap in it. But if it did have Bootstrap, you could probably do that. And if you wanted to, you could include it, but that might break the existing layout of the page. But very good question. You can use Bootstrap wherever it is included, but it's not built in by default.
Thank you.
Yep. Any more questions? Cool. Yeah, so whether you're here or at home, just remember, getbootstrap.com. Again, getbootstrap.com is your friend. Whenever you're using Bootstrap, this will give you instructions how to get started, how to use components, how to use, there's some cool JavaScript plugins we won't go over here, but they're worth checking out as well. So this is your friend. It's just important to get used to how to use this. OK, very cool. So let's chat a bit about making responsive websites. So as I said before, people use their laptops, they use their phones. And as you might well imagine, this is a very different screen size than that. And so the same website that looks good on my phone is not going to look good necessarily on a computer. So what you have to do is make your website adapt, right? It has to adapt to the various screen sizes that it's on. It has to say, I know I'm on a computer, a big laptop, I should expand. I know I'm on a phone, I should shrink. And so Bootstrap provides some very, very useful tools to do this. So Bootstrap lets you break a website into 12 columns. You can make rows and have 12 columns. And you can partition those however you want. You can have one big thing, which is 12 columns wide. You can have two things that are six each. You can do one thing that's four, one that's two, one that's six. You can do 3, 3, 3, 3. You can do whatever breakdown that you want. So you know, maybe your web page needs to have a left column that's 1/3 the width. So that would be 4 columns wide. And the rest of the page would be 8 columns wide. So just as an example, let's pull up another example. Yeah, it can be 7.5. Yeah, as long as it adds to 12, it's fine. Okay, so let's go back here. Again, the code that is here is also available here under responsive example. Cool. So I just pulled up some example responsive code here. So you do this by using a thing called row. Row is another class. It's another style you add on to your divs to make them their own components. So you say div class equals row to make a row to give yourself 12 columns of space. And then you put columns inside of that. So here we did col-xs-6. Don't worry about the xs. We'll talk about it in a sec. But basically, we have We have one thing that is 6 wide. We call it left, and so that's the left box here. We have one thing that is 6 of the 12 columns wide, and that one is on the right. Well just gives makes your div filled up gray, so we just so we can see that they're distinct. And so this is the first example, a very simple example of how you would use your rows and columns here. You define a row using class equals row, and you do class equals, you know, call xs6 to do half, call xs6 to do the other half. As a more complicated example, let's look at the tiny, huge, the rest one. We can make tiny 2 columns wide, we can make huge 6 columns wide, and the rest 4 columns wide. That adds up to 12, and so these end up spanning the width of the page. Again, we have a row outside, then we have div class equals call dash xs dash 2, and then 6, and then 4. And that will provide the structure for us. And so we can put whatever the heck we want inside here. We can do, instead of tiny, we can put like a button. Button class equals and so notice that our button doesn't take up all the width, but at least it's restricted to that much space. Cool. So that's all well and good. So we can now break up our web page into chunks width-wise, right? We can say we want to have a left column and a right column and so on. But we haven't gone over how you make it responsive. And so Bootstrap lets you do that as well. It has these things called breakpoints. So it has a way of knowing whether you're on laptop, you're on a tablet, you're on a phone, horizontal, or you're a phone vertical. It knows the screen size. And it breaks us into 4 categories. Large or LG, which is laptops usually, MD or medium, which is tablets, SM, small, or XS, extra small. And so when you specify a column, you say it should be 6 columns wide on an extra small device. That's why we did call-xs-6. We're saying it should be 6 of the 12 columns wide on an extra small device. And if we say, and if it's anything bigger, we'll just default to using the extra small size. If it's anything bigger than extra small, it'll be 6 wide. And so we can leverage these to make our columns take up different amounts of columns based on the screen size. So let's go to this responsive resizing. OK, so we have our columns, right? And it says call-lg-6, call-xs-12. So given what you know so far, what do you think is going to happen on a big screen? What do you think is going to, well, it's kind of given away, but like, what do you think it will look like on a big screen, and why is that?
Of the whole space, like half of it, I guess?
Yep.
And
yeah.
On the whole screen, on a smaller screen, it's going to take up the whole screen, the 12.
Yeah, right. So which, as an example, let's just look down here. Yep. So on anything that is LG or bigger, which happens to be LG, so my computer happens to be LG because it's pretty wide, it will make it side by side because it's call-lg-6. So because it's on large, it makes it 6 columns wide and 6 columns wide. Let's see what happens if I make this in a smaller one. I'm just going to unfull screen this, and I'm going to shrink the screen. I'm going to shrink the screen so it looks like I am on a smaller device. So I'm going to shrink it like this. And voila, it is now stacked. Because now we have gone from large to this is probably an extra small screen size. And so now it says, OK, we're not in large. We're in extra small land. So we're going to use the extra small size. We're going to use XS12, so it's going to be stacked. And just notice that there is a thing called a breakpoint, right? The breakpoint is where you make the transition from extra small to small, small to large, and so on. So just notice as I slide this out that eventually you'll get to the point where they'll jump to be side by side. There you go. So there's the breakpoint right there. Cool. So we can make it a little bit even more complicated. Now we can say these things should be 4 wide, as in they should take up a third of the screen each on very large devices. On a medium device, it should take up half the screen, because it's MD6. On a very small device, it should take up 12. And so this looks pretty natural. Let's just try this out for ourselves. So on a big screen, they're 4 wide. Shrink it. Nope. shrink it a little bit, and they are now 6 wide, right? So this is 6, 6, 6. Shrink it even more, and then they will be totally stacked. So this, for example, makes sense if you're having like cards, like news cards, for example, where if it's on a very big screen, it's OK if you have several side by side, because they'd all get enough room. But they need to have enough room, so on a smaller screen, you'd want to give them more room proportionally of the page. So as a real-world example, let's say we have Twitter, right? And we have like a text box you can tweet on the side, and we have a list of trending topics on the right side. So on a big screen, we should have them be side by side. So you can see them at a glance. But on a smaller screen, we should do 12 and 12 so that the trending topics are below the tweet area, right? Because the tweet area is the main thing. And if we, on a small screen, the trending topics don't matter quite as much. And so we can put them right below so that they can both get enough space. Make sense so far? Mm-hmm. Solid. So that's all the examples I have here. Let's try and do a challenge. OK, so again, this is challenge-2.html for those of you following along at home. OK, so my buddy Mark Zuckerberg came to me the other day. And he's like, Neil, I have gotten pretty good at web design. I can do HTML. I've made this little new edit to Facebook. I have a new idea for how we should style Facebook. And here it is right here. Here's some example code. So it's called FancyBook. We have like some status updates. We have like Nemo, Mike Wazowski, Woody, 3 status updates. And then we have a list of online friends right below it. So yeah, he's done his homework. He knows a little bit about Bootstrap. He's made the list view. He has done a little bit of HTML. So he has the web page there. But he's like, Neil, I don't understand responsive design at all. Do you have any like experts who can help me with that? And fortunately, you are now experts in responsive design. So what he told me was he wants the page to look like, he wants FancyBook to look like this. On a very small device, like a phone, everything should be stacked, like here. So you should have the timeline up front, up top, and then you should have the chat bar at the bottom. But on a tablet or like a medium device, it should be half and half, as in the timeline should be half and the list of chat friends should be on the other half. Then on a laptop, the timeline should take up 3/4, and then the chat head should take up another 1/4. And so he's like, Neil, I have this code here, but it's not responsive. It needs to look like, it needs to behave like this. So my challenge to you is, given this code here, if you refresh your code pens, you'll see this. Or if you just paste in the code on challenge-2, you'll see this. Here's this example code. You'll see some XXXs. I want you to change the XXXs such that the timeline and the list of friends follows these specs here. Don't worry about what's inside of the timeline for now. We'll get to that in the next step. But for now, let's see if we can get these things to split it up like this. So does that make sense? So if you're at home, pause the video and try to make your web page look responsive like this. If you're here, take like 2-3 minutes. Feel free to chat with a neighbor and try and fix Mr. Zuckerberg's responsive design problem. If you have any questions, feel free to let me know. All good? Done. Nice. Yeah. What? Huh?
I'm good.
Oh, good. Nice. Thanks.
The thing about the 12, uh-huh, is that the Bootstrap treats a given screen space as like 12 units across, and it divides those up, or how exactly does the proportioning
work? Sure. Yeah. So the question is, how does the proportioning work for Bootstrap, right?
Yeah.
So whenever you have a div class equals row, no matter how big the screen is, Bootstrap will make each thing, it will give you 12 units of the same size that take up that much size. So like a call one is always 8.33% of the size of the screen, whether that's like this wide or that's this wide.
Yeah.
And so, of course, on a smaller screen, each column is smaller, right? You still have 12 columns wide. It's just smaller. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you to make sure things take up more column proportionally to compensate for that lack of space. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank
cool.
You.
Good question.
Large screen, have timeline take up 3/4?
Yeah. How you guys feeling? Good. Cool. So let's come back and let's try and fix this part of Mr. Zuckerberg's website. OK, so the timeline is up here at the top, and the list of friends at the bottom. And so we just need to assign columns sizing proportional in each of these. So this first XXX, this is for the timeline. What classes do we put in here? What did you guys put in here? So remember, on a large screen, it needs to take up 3/4 of the width,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so what style would give you that? On a large screen,
yeah,
3/4 of the width. What class do we use there?
Okay, so we're just going to be editing that first.
For now, yeah.
Instance of class, we're not editing each individual feature of the timeline.
Not now, at least.
Okay.
So this thing is the whole thing is a block. We're just changing the sizing of the block. So here we do call dash lg dash 9, right? Because it's 9 out of the 12 wide on a big screen, right? And then on a medium screen, how many columns should it get? Right, so how many is that?
Six.
Then extra small, it should be? If it takes up the entire width of the row, how many should it be?
12,
yep. OK, and now we got to change this other one so it takes up the rest of the space. So call lg dash.
It's going to take up the whole screen.
Takes up a quarter of the screen on a large device, as we showed here.
Three,
and then call dash md dash 6 to take up the rest of the space. Call xs 12. Cool. So now we have the timeline take up 3/4 of the page in a big screen, and then 1/4 on the side And then if we resize the screen down, it should resize accordingly. So here, it's stacked now on a very small screen. When we size it up a little bit, they should be exactly half and half. So we've done that so far. Very cool. And so we won't do the other part of the challenge. You can do that yourself. But basically, you have to try and make these responsive as well, make the timeline items themselves responsive. Cool. So now we've gone through all you need to know about the responsive side of Bootstrap. Any questions about responsive design with Bootstrap? How you might go about doing that? Yeah.
Is it similar if we had like an embedded video and we wanted to control the scale at which the size of the video, going from like laptop to phone?
Yeah, more or less. You'd have to tell the video to take up as much room as it's given, which is a little annoying sometimes. But the core idea is the same. you want a video like any other object in the page, like a button or whatever. As long as you use the columns and the rows, you can make it. You can give it a certain amount of space. And so getting it to honor that is a different question, because like YouTube embeds have a certain preferred size.
Yeah.
But like theoretically, at least, it would work.
I suppose then for like an image, do you actually need to have like different versions of the same image in different sizes?
Okay.
Or if you're looking like laptop versus iPhone?
Yeah, the question is, do we need to have images that are responsive as well? And indeed, you can do that. I think it's in CSS. But Bootstrap allows you to do that as well. You can have responsive images. You can have your images resize according to the size of the page. And there's a new thing, a very new thing in HTML5, the newest version of HTML, and CSS3, the newest version of CSS, which will let you request different images based on the screen size you're at. Usually it's good enough to just have your image just shrink or grow however big it needs to be, but you can, if you want to, have like one 32 by 32 for very small screens and a 64 by 64 for very big screens, and then serve those selectively. You can do it. It's done by some people. It's still pretty cutting edge, but short answer, responsive images like Bootstrap can save the day there. Cool? All right, so let's talk real fast about how to get this in your own web page, right? Let's say you want to make your own website using Bootstrap, and so let's just walk through it together. So I have made a normal HTML page. Feel free to follow along in whatever your favorite editor is. So we just have some HTML page. We do like doc type HTML, right? So tell us an HTML page, HTML. Nothing new. We've done this before, right? So here we have our HTML, and we can put stuff inside here, right? We can have like. Right, we can have our button. And as I said before, this isn't necessarily going to work, right? Why might this not work? Why won't we get our nice, colorful button?
Because we didn't link it to the Bootstrap.
Correct.
Or the file?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Because Bootstrap is just a fancy CSS file. It's a series of styles that are attached to your elements. Here, we've told it we want to use these styles. I'll size up a little bit. We've told it we want to use these styles, but we never told it what the styles are. And that's what your question from earlier was. That's the answer to that. Mm-hmm. We need to find a way to get the styles and include them in our page somehow. And so Bootstrap will show us how to do that. So if you go to top here, getting started, there's different ways to download it. This might not make sense necessarily.
Okay.
Bootstrap, this will let you grab the CSS file itself and you include it in your own page. Source code is if you want to hack on it by yourself. Don't need this really. Sass is a language that compiles into CSS. Think of it as like a preprocessor. You know, much how PHP is a preprocessor for HTML, Sass is a preprocessor for CSS. So if you want to do it that way, you can do that. The easiest way is using a CDN, or Content Delivery Network. It's a website that just serves up a copy of Bootstrap very fast for you to include in your own page. So here's an example. It'll give you this link element. A link element tells your computer, or your browser rather, take whatever file is stored here and include it in our web page. And in this case, it's the Bootstrap CSS file. So we'll just copy that URL, or that text, and we'll throw it inside of our head. And I won't start the page for this, but you can trust that this works. The link will get you the CSS, include it in your page, and then you'll be able to use all of the Bootstrap classes that you know and love. If you want to have on your own file system instead of having to go to the internet to grab it, like if you want to use the site offline, you can use the download option. But for the most part, using the CDN is pretty fast, because that way it's kept up to date for you as well. You don't have to manually update it either. Make sense? So a lot of tools will have this built in by default. Like in your PSET 7 and PSET 8, I believe Bootstrap is automatically included. And in CodePen, for example, it's already included because I added that setting. So if you ever want to play around with it, you can just go on CodePen or go on your IDE or whatever, and you might be able to access Bootstrap there, but it's not always built in by default to the web. Make sense? Yeah, so just as a recap, we have like 5 minutes left. But as a recap, on your web pages, you can include Bootstrap like this. And once you have it included, you can do all the fun stuff here. You can go on and you can just peruse the CSS. You can add some cool styles. You can have components like the buttons and the tables and the list items that we mentioned. You can add, there's some cool JavaScript plugins, which you might want to explore. They add some cool interactivity to the web page. Like this one makes a modal dialog. So there's some fun stuff you can do with Bootstrap. So my advice to you is go ahead and use it in your own projects. Follow the instructions we just did as to how to get it. And just read the Bootstrap documentation. You'll learn more about what to do. And so we've gone over today how to use the documentation, what the building blocks are, how it is conceptually. So now what my challenge to you is make a website using Bootstrap. Go into the docs and use the tools that we've learned so far to try and parse them and understand them. And use those styles and tools you see there in your website. And it's just a big experimental process. You know, try out a certain style. Does it work? Does it not? Try putting styles together, see what happens. It's very much a self-guided discovery process. But today we've learned the very basics of what is Bootstrap, why does it work, how does it work, how do we start using it in the first place. And so now that you're over that hump, you should be able to do it pretty smoothly by yourself. So once again, all the code we did is here. So if you ever want to get a brush up on like what's a quick cheat sheet for all of the styles, you can go into this sample here. We have some example styles here. If you want to like try the challenges again by yourself, you can try them here and check out the solutions. So this link will be included on the slides, which will be sent out to you, of course. They're also up here. You can pause the video if you want. But yeah, all the information you need is going to be right here on this site. So if anyone has any questions, we can take them for the next couple minutes. Otherwise, thank you all very much for watching.